This afternoon, we continue with our study of the book of Zechariah, and our text in verse 13 reads, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory." We all know that the "he" in verse, in our text, is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the context indicates in verse 12, "Behold the man whose name is the branch," and which of course is the title applied to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He grew up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his kingdom, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Our subject this afternoon is Christ, the builder of his church. First of all, we commence our study of this text to consider, first of all, the temple of the Lord mentioned in this text, the temple of the Lord. And I'm sure that there should be no difficulty for us, particularly those of us in our congregation, that the temple of the Lord, often mentioned in the Old Testament, is alluded to the Church of Christ. All Christian believers constitute the church. Any company of Christian men and women gathered together in holy bonds of communion for the purpose of receiving God's ordinances, for the purpose of preaching and hearing and receiving the word of God, what they regard to be God's truth, is a church. And the whole of these churches gathered into one. In fact, all the true believers in Christ scattered throughout the world constitute the one true universal apostolic church built upon a rock which the gates of hell shall not prevail. All those of us who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity and in truth, these are the ones who make up the one universal church which has communion in itself, with itself, not always in the outward sign, but always in the inward grace. The church which was elect of God before the foundation of the world, which was redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ with his own precious blood, which has been called by his Spirit, which is preserved by his grace, and which at last shall be gathered in to make the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. This is the definition of the Church of Christ, or the Church of God. In this passage our brother John has read, this church is called the temple of God, and Christ is said to be to be its builder. Why is the church called the temple? Well, very simply because the temple was the place where God especially dwelt. It was true that God did not wholly dwell in the temple made with human hands of man's building, which Solomon built upon the Mount of Zion. But it is true that in a special sense, the infinite majesty, the glorious God, there held its tabernacle and its dwelling place. Between the wings of the overshadowing cherubim, there did shine the bright light of what we call in the Old Testament the Shekinah, the type or the manifestation and the proof of the special presence of Jehovah, the God of Israel. It is also true, as we know from Scripture, that God is everywhere. Omnipresence, or everywhere, or we can say it in the other way, everywhere is in the presence or in the sight of God. In the highest heaven and in the deepest hell, God is to be found. However, God did especially dwell in his temple, so that when his people prayed, they were commanded to turn their eye towards the temple, as Daniel did when he opened his window towards Jerusalem and offered his prayer. Now, such is the church of Christ, the Lord Jesus. If you would find God, he dwells on every hilltop and in every valley. God is everywhere in creation. However, if you want a special manifestation of Christ, if you would know what is the secret place of the tabernacle of the Most High, the inner chamber of divinity, then you must go where you find the church of true believers are. It is in their hearts that Christ makes his continual residence known. In the hearts of the humble and contrite sinners who tremble at his word. If you would see Christ, it is in the hearts of true and authentic Christian, regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, the third person in the triune Godhead. Yes, you can see God in and through his amazing and marvelous creation. God was everywhere to be discovered. However, the clearest of his manifestation is the temple of God, the church of Christ. It is not on Mount Hermon. It is not on Mount Tabor. It was on Mount Zion that the Lord God loved to make a special display or manifestation of himself. So it is with the church. God is to be seen in the midst of his people. It is in Holy Communion, in the breaking of bread, and in the pouring out of wine, in holy baptism of believers into the Lord Jesus Christ, in the preaching of the word, in the reading of scripture, in the constant proclamation of the great gospel of Christ, in the lifting up of the cross, in high exalting of him that died on the upon the cross, in the preaching of the covenant, in the declaration of the grace of God. It is in all this that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be seen. Hence, his church is said to be his temple. All Christian believers, I trust that you will know this reality with certainty, for God dwells in the heart of the believer and walk with you. You dwell in him and he dwells in you in his Holy Spirit. The secret of the Lord, says the psalmist, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalm 25 verse 14. Dear Christian believers, it is your blessed privilege and honor to walk with God. He manifests himself to you, undeserving sinners, as he does not manifest unto the world. He takes you into his inner chamber, into the Holy of Holies. He manifests his love towards you. He has put a new song in your mouth and nowhere else. Psalm 40 verse 3. Brethren, you have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been taught to look into his heart and to see his special love towards you shown on the cross of Calvary. You know well, better than I can tell you, what it is to be the temple of the living God. Before we come to the second point, there is one more reason why the word temple is used to picture the church. The reason is that the church is like the temple, a place of worship. In the Old Testament, there was a law passed by God that no offering should be presented to him except upon that one altar in his temple at Jerusalem. and that law is extant to this day. No acceptable service can be offered to Christ except by his church, the believers. Only those who believe in Christ can offer worship and prayers and praises that shall be received of God. Whatever ordinances you attend to, who are without Christ in his heart, you do not honor God therein. There is only one altar, that is Christ. There is only one set of priests, namely the church of God, the man chosen out of the world to be clothed in white robes to minister at his gospel. And whosoever pretends to worship God, pretends to praise him, worship him not aright. His offering is like that of Cain. God has no respect to Cain's sacrifice, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Unless he believes, he cannot desire pleasures and blessing from the Lord, nor shall his worship be accepted. As there was only one temple, so there is only one church. That one church is his holy place, where God dwells, where God accepts worship, where songs of praise are rendered, and the incense of prayer continually comes up before his holy throne with acceptance. Then we come to the second part of our message or the sermon, and that is verse 12 reads, he shall build the temple of the Lord, and further emphasized in verse 13a, Christ. Therefore, the second point, or rather the second lesson for us is, Christ is the only builder of the church. We shall make a parallel between Christ building his church and Solomon as the builder of the first temple. When Solomon built the temple, the first thing he did was to obtain instructions with regard to the model upon which he should build it. The Lord, who had shown the pattern of the Old Testament in the wilderness to Moses, doubtless showed the pattern of the temple to Solomon. Now Christ Jesus, the Lord, being God over all, he was his own architect. Christ has made the plan of his church without the help of anyone. Christ is the designer and the builder of his own church. Every stone that is in the temple, the Lord Jesus ordained, should be put where it is. Even those stones that are most contemptible and unseen were put in their places by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one stone or one board of cedar that was not foreseen and prearranged in that eternal covenant of grace, which was the great plan that Christ, the Almighty, mighty architect, did draw for the building of the temple to his praise. Christ then is the only architect, and he shall bear the glory, for he designed the building. Next, when Solomon built his temple, he built it on the mountain, Mount Moriah. When the Lord Jesus came to build his temple, he built it upon the mountain of his own unchangeable affection, his own strong love, his own omnipotent grace and infallible truthfulness. It is this that constitute the mountain upon which the church is built, and on this foundation has been digged and the great stone laid with oaths and promises and the blood of Christ to make them stand secure and unmovable. Then, after Solomon had his mountain ready and the foundation built, next Solomon needed other materials to build the temple. Trees growing from in Lebanon, stones of the quarry, and also skillful craftsmen to carry out the work. In this aspect, Solomon fails to be a type of Christ. Our Lord Jesus built his temple, the temple himself. He need not bring in all these trees and all these craftsmen. The Lord Jesus built his church not by cutting down trees, but by the acts of conviction through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of sinners. He must cut them up with that great saw of his holy law. He must plane and polish them with his holy gospel. And when he has made them fit to be pillars in the house of the Lord, then shall they be placed in his temple forever. Before we became Christians, we were like rough stones in the quarry. But in the grace of God, we were hewn out of that rock by no hand but Christ. It was the loving blow from his own hammer that broke the rock of our sin into pieces. Though we are each of us being polished so that we may be ready for the temple, yet there is nothing that polishes but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Afflictions and trials itself cannot sanctify us, except as they are used by the Lord Jesus as his mallet and his chisels. Our joys and our efforts cannot make us ready for our eternal home apart from the hand of Jesus, who molds our hearts aright and prepares us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12. Therefore, Reverend, you notice that herein, Jesus Christ, our Lord, far excels Solomon, for Christ builds his church with his own material, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection power, and through his Holy Spirit, polishes the Christian believers, till he makes them ready to transport to the holy hill of God, whereon his temple is to be built. Besides the material needed for the construction of the temple, Solomon, as we know from scriptures, that he had to employ many thousands of workmen to put the building into its proper place. We also know that in the construction of Solomon's temple, there was no sound of hammer heard. Why? Because the stones were all made ready in the quarries, and then brought all shape and mark so that the mason might know the exact spot in which they were to be placed, so that no sound of iron was needed in the construction of Solomon's temple. As for all the wooden planks and timbers needed for the construction, they were also pre-prepared and carried to their right places, and all the joints which they were to be linked together were all prepared so that there might not even be the driving of a nail. Not a single nail is needed on site. Everything was ready beforehand. And so it is the same for us, or with us, the Christian. When we get to heaven, brethren, there will be no sanctifying us there, no squaring us with affliction, no hammering us with the rod, no making of us. We must be made prepared here. And blessed be Christ's name, all that Christ will do beforehand. When we get to heaven, we shall not need angels to put this member of the church in this place or that member in another place. Christ, who brought the stones from the quarry and made them ready, shall himself place his chosen people in their inheritance in paradise. For he has himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself." Christ, our Savior and Lord, shall be his own usher. He shall receive each of his blood-bought children himself. He shall stand at the gates of heaven himself to take his own people, to receive them, and to put them into their allotted heritage in the land of the blessed. Brethren, there is nothing of the great temple of Christ which was not prepared and made by Christ. There is a great deal in the church on earth, this sinful world, that Christ has nothing to do with. But there is nothing in his true church, nothing especially in his glorified church, which was not put there by Christ himself. Therefore, those who truly bear the name of Christ in their hearts may well come to the conclusion, as says in the middle part of verse 13, he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. Christ shall bear all the glory, for he was the only builder of his church. In conclusion, let us draw an application from our text. And so, for our application, brethren, we ask, are we today built upon Christ? Are you built upon Christ? Can we say that we hope that we are a part of Christ's temple? That his saving grace has been exhibited upon us, and that we are built together with Christ? Can we truly say that? Are we in that position? If so, listen to one word of exhortation. Let us evermore honor Christ. Every part of Solomon's temple was erected to be a part of the fabric for the praise and glory of God. Therefore, every member of the body of Christ, the church, must likewise be joined together and raised up to the praise and glory of the name of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has highly honored you to be stones, living stones in the temple of Christ. When you think of what you were before you became a Christian, and what you might have been, how you might have been stones in the black dungeons of sin and hell forever, disgraced, abandoned, cast away in blackness of darkness forever. But now, living stones, oh, you must say that you will praise him and worship him. Now that you are made anew in Christ, and that God the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you must say, and indeed you must, praise him and bless his name. Sons and daughters of Jerusalem, if you are one, rejoice in the Lord. Christ the Lord has made you temples of the Holy Ghost, God dwelling in you and you in him. Go out, therefore, as light of the world and salt of the earth to sing his praise. Go forth to honor Christ, your Lord. Let me ask another question. Is there anyone who is not a stone in the spiritual temple of God? I'm sure you know what this question is all about. Is there anyone who is not a stone in the spiritual temple of God? Are you one of the stones used in the building of God's Jerusalem? Oh, dear friends, this question may seem a very small matter to you now or today, and so you brush it aside. However, think of it. When Christ, our Lord, shall call his people, when all Christian believers are assembled around Christ's great white throne on that final day. And the book of life shall be opened. Oh, how dreadful it will be. While name after name is read, and when it comes to the last name, and yours has been left out, it will not be a small matter to you anymore. But alas, at that time, it is too late. I'd like to read to you this. There is a stanza in this hymn that goes like this. I quote, I love to meet among them now, the them referring to the Christian believers. I love to meet among them now, before thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all, but can I bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shall call? Unquote. Dear friends, think of it very deeply, carefully. Consider it now. The book is open and the names are read, but your name is unmentioned in the list. Well, you can right now laugh at the gospel, scoff at the at Christ. You can ridicule the Christian believers. And now that angels are gathering for the judgment, now that the trumpet sounds exceedingly loud and long, now that the heavens are red with fire, and that the great furnace of hell opens its mouth and is about to engulf you in its flame. Now, despise God's grace of salvation all you want. Ah, by that time, I see you now. I see you. Yes, I see you. Your knees at that time are shivering, and now your proud forehead for the first time is covered with the hot sweat of trembling. Now your eyes that once were full of scorn at Christ and his people are now full of tears, and you are weeping for your sin. Oh sinner, it will be too late then. There is no cutting of the stone after it gets to Jerusalem. Where you fall, there you will lie. Where judgment ends you, there eternity shall leave you. Time shall be no more when judgment comes. And when time is no more, change is impossible. In eternity, there can be no change. No deliverance, no signing of acquittal. Once lost, lost forever. Once damned, damned to all eternity. So may I ask, will you choose this and despise Christ? Or will you have Christ, have everlasting life, and have heaven? Oh, my friends, decide now. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If sin be best served, then serve sin and reap its wages. If you can make your bed in hell, if you can endure eternal burnings, be honest with yourself and look at the wages of sin while you do the work. But if you have Christ and heaven, or rather, but if you would have Christ and heaven, if you would be amongst the many who shall be glorified with Christ, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe now, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. to all who are listening in, believe and live. Cast yourself at Jesus' feet. Put your trust in Him, surrendering yourself and your all to Him, and come to Him and to be saved by Jesus now and saved eternally. May the Lord bless your weak but earnest appeal for Christ's sake. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great mercy and compassion upon Your chosen people. Yes, O Lord, undeserving as we are, as You see us heading toward the pit of damnation, in Your grace and mercy, You pluck us up and brought us into Your kingdom of light and gave us eternal life. O Father, indeed, we are truly Your children, Your blood-bought children, and we are truly honored and privileged to be Your children in Thy kingdom. Not because of any good in us, not because of anything You foresee in us, but out of Thy great mercy. And so we give thanks to Thee and praise Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for what a salvation that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks to Thee also that You will continue to build Your church and that You will continue to polish and to sanctify Your people with the grace of Your Holy Spirit. And You shall prepare us indeed for our eternal home. Father, meanwhile, as we continue our pilgrim journey here, as we begin a new week which You have so graciously granted to us, we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will go with us and go before us and lead and guide us in this new week in the way that we should go. And that, Lord, Your Holy Spirit will empower us and enable us to live our lives that will glorify Thy holy name, that will magnify Thy name, that others, O Lord, who are outside of Your kingdom may truly see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven, and that they may be drawn to Thee to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. O Father, we pray for that Thou will pour forth Thy blessing upon on Your people and fill us with Your peace and joy that passes all understanding. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.